Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He's also NFL.com, the great Nick Shook joins us now. Shooky Monster, what's up?
What's going on, gang? How we doing?
JP doesn't know whether you like the nickname Shooky Monster
or not. I don't know if Nick just came up with it last hour, if it's a thing you guys see, he just always calls you. I'm not sure.
Oh, no, it's always some sort of variation of Shook, Shooky. It's been that way my whole life. And in fact, back as far back as when I interned with you guys, I actually had a Twitter handle by the name of Shooky_Cookie, which those who really know like to lean on it. Andy Baskin's one of those ones who likes to point that out every once in a while.
Yeah, the Shooky Cookie, that's another thing you can find on Urban Dictionary, but I just wouldn't do it on a work computer. All right, so we've been talking about the quarterback position here, and I do want to get your take on Shador, because Nick Kostos said something earlier today on this station where he said, you know, it's apparent Stefanski doesn't trust Shador to run his offense. Do you think that's fair and a fair assessment of where the Browns are with Shador to this point?
I mean, you could kind of come to that assumption. I don't know if it's necessarily indicative of how Kevin Stefanski feels. I mean, unless you directly ask him and pose that question, I don't know if I would say it as definitively. It suggests that, but also, I mean, look, who are the Browns at this point? They are a team with two rookie quarterbacks. They've seen a decent amount of performance from one. It has been a low ceiling showing. Their offense is also very limited. They lack, you know, capable pass catchers who are able to get open. Jerry Jeudy has not been consistent with his hands this year. They've relied heavily on the tight ends. Their running game is hit or miss because their offensive line has also had to shuffle around. It's not a good set of circumstances for any quarterback. But Dylan Gabriel, I mean, what has he done to lose the job? Well, he threw two picks in New England and didn't look very good. But he has done ultimately what is most important in this offense for where the Browns are right now, which is get the ball out on time and largely avoid mistakes. It's just that you're not going to see him airing it out, save for his attempt to try to throw the ball 50 yards downfield and have it intercepted. So I don't know if necessarily they are ready to make a change because they would still like to see more from Dylan Gabriel. You will see Shador at some point. I continue to guarantee that you will see him at some point, and I pray for that day to arrive so that we can take all of our tinfoil hats off and stop, you know, believing in some conspiracy that the Browns are trying to sabotage him. I just think it's a matter of they're giving Dylan Gabriel more time to see what he has, and they believe that, you know, he was first in line, he was more capable of running the offense as intended. I don't think that there's some big, you know, effort to or lack of trust in Shador necessarily.
But wouldn't it be logical to say, though, if you can say Shador's going to see the field this year, then haven't we already exhausted everything we need to out of Dylan Gabriel?
Have you? I mean, there's
I feel exhausted.
I'm definitely exhausted.
If we could, all right, so let's do this. Let's isolate the actual result of the game and just bring it down to what Dylan Gabriel has done. I feel as though it took him a couple of games to really get comfortable enough to move beyond getting the ball out quickly and trying to find someone else. He really showed that ability in that first drive that the Browns had when they went down and scored a touchdown. I would like to see more of that before I'm ready to go look at the other quarterback. We still have half of a season left. There is plenty of time to get a look. So I know that everybody gets antsy and the wins aren't coming. So you think they're not winning. They keep losing in the same way. Good, very good defense, very bad offense. And they're held back by their inability to put points on the board. So why not make a change to the offense? I get that. But if you take away the result, remove it from the equation and just evaluate the quarterback play, I don't feel as though they've reached a point where, like the Saints, you know, benching Spencer Rattler because he had a problem with turnovers. I mean, the guy threw, you know, he was accountable for six turnovers, six giveaways over the last 2 weeks. That is worth benching when you have a 40th overall pick sitting behind him waiting to get an opportunity. I don't think the Browns are in that same position right now.
Nick, yesterday we had a conversation of how much would, like, Drake May change this offense if you were the Cleveland Browns, because you talked about the surrounding issues. I'm going to flip that on its ear right now. How much would an elite receiver change this offense with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback?
And that this is essentially the Joe Flacco experiment, right? You're thinking, okay, let's put Ja'Marr Chase on this roster. The Browns could have done the same thing the Bengals did with Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, I would subscribe to that notion to a degree. I also don't know if that is necessarily the most the smartest thing to consider with this team right now. They're in a position where they have amassed a good amount of draft capital and they are building for the future. If you want the immediate return, yes, a star receiver would I think elevate this offense, and no matter who's playing quarterback, I think that's true for most any team. But is it, you know, first, those aren't really available without giving up a lot. And I don't think the Browns are in the position to make a deal like that. I could put that on the plate of the Buffalo Bills and even maybe the Baltimore Ravens, but not the Browns.
How interested in Myles Garrett trade conversations are you at this point?
Okay. I wanted to say disinterested entirely because that contract is so big. And also, I mean, are we talking about a trade because the Browns are bad and Myles Garrett is coming off of a 5-sack game and you think, God, he deserves better? Is that why we're talking about this? Would a trade make the Browns better for the long term? And would they be able to, you know, solicit such an offer from an interested party, given that he's making $40 million a year? It's not like teams can just be like, hey, we'll throw you 3 first-round picks for a guy who's going to make $40 million a year. And don't tell me that's what they did for Deshaun Watson. I know that's what they did. You know, that's apples to oranges here. So I lack interest in it because I don't think it's going to happen. And I also don't think it's beneficial for the Browns. You know, as much as everybody in Cleveland, you know, wrings their hands about, you know, oh, Myles Garrett is upset and we're wasting the careers of Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett. And you know what happened at the end of Chubb's time in Cleveland. I also believe that Myles Garrett is one of those rare players who probably should only play for one team. I think it was somebody who described in the offseason when it came to T.J. Watt as a one-helmet guy. That feels like what Myles Garrett should be. That's what Joe Thomas was. Remember when people talked about trading Joe Thomas to Denver and how close it came? It just, I don't know. I feel like everybody's acting more emotionally than logically. It doesn't make a lot of sense to the Browns unless you could get an incredible haul that would allow you to transform your roster in an offseason.
One helmet guy. Also, Urban Dictionary. Do not look it up on a work computer. Nick Shook on the fan hotline here, NFL.com. So I will test your theory, because I do believe that there's a price for everything. There's a report out there that the Eagles are hot on the pursuit of Myles Garrett, and that they could offer 3 first-rounders, which, again, most people would assume would fall somewhere between 26 and 32. Would 3 first-round picks constitute the Godfather offer that might make the Browns think about trading Myles Garrett and taking that cap hit?
That is what would require me to even pick up the phone if I was Andrew Berry. Even at this stage in Myles Garrett's career, you know, the 30-year-old mark and everything else, because he's that special of a player. So that's what would bring me to the table. But I think that's the minimum that you would ask for a player of his caliber. Also, you have to consider, like you just said, where the Eagles' picks would land. Now, Eagles' first-round picks have been valuable in the past because Howie Roseman is a hell of a general manager. He's great at drafting the top talent remaining at his spot. He's gotten a number of great guys later in the back half of the first round. Do you trust Andrew Berry with that same, you know, drafting aptitude at the back end of the first round? And if those are year after year, it gives the Browns 3 first-round picks this year. That would give them 2 in the future years. That would help them turn this team around for the long haul. And then you have to weigh, okay, do you want Myles Garrett over the next 4 years, or do you want those draft picks to try to, you know, invigorate their roster? And that's where you get into the risk assessment versus, you know, a known commodity. So it would really come down to what you're aiming for. The weird thing about the Browns right now is, you know, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are not operating as if they are a regime that is under threat of losing their jobs, which is, it's strange. It's rare because you just don't see that with a team that has struggled as much as the Browns have over the last 2 years. So you would think they would have some leeway to make a deal like this to stock up on first round picks. But do they have that much leeway that they're around 3 years from now to see that last first round pick? Or is that ammunition to move up? Would they want to move up? A lot of different factors involved here that kind of, you know, makes the situation a little more murky than the standard trade talk.
How connected do you feel like Stefanski and Barry are as far as the jobs are concerned? Like, are we going to have a chance where one keeps the job and the other doesn't? Or is it both are gone if anything even happens at all?
I feel like they're a tandem, like they're a package deal. And, I mean, let's think about it. Who has the better track record to this point? It's probably Kevin Stefanski than Andrew Berry. I mean, he's got the two Coach of the Year honors. He navigated a season in which, you know, they cycled through five starting quarterbacks and made the playoffs, thanks to Joe Flacco, which you could say, well, that's Andrew Berry's work, signing Joe Flacco off the couch. But overall, since they've been in Cleveland, I feel like Stefanski has probably achieved more than Berry has. But if you're going to make a change, you make a wholesale regime change. You change both of them. And just judging by the tone of Jimmy Haslam and the way that the Browns have gone about their business this year, it feels like neither expects to get, you know, fired, which, you know, I run into people in Cleveland. I live in Cleveland. And they're like, oh, so when's Stefanski getting fired? And I just look at him blankly and say, he's not. Because this is not about this year, and the quicker that everybody accepts that, it makes all the losses that await them a little more palatable.
All right, we're going to do a quick thing of buy or sell here. So I'll give you a premise or a team, and then you tell me whether you're buying or selling, and give me like a 15-second explanation. Fair?
Yeah.
The Colts are for real.
Come on now. Yes, I agree. They are for real. I am buying that because... Look, I wanted to get off the Daniel Jones bandwagon or not even just pay attention to it, but they're a well-oiled machine offensively, and they're playing above their heads defensively. The key part is their offensive line is playing a lot better than anybody expected.
All right, Jerry Dulac is reporting that Mike Tomlin, the Rooney family is getting a little, maybe their patience is wearing thin with Mike Tomlin, so the buy or sell is Steelers would actually move on from Mike Tomlin after this year.
If the Steelers moved on from Mike Tomlin, you would find me flat on the ground like a starfish, okay? That's exactly how
also
unlikely
an Urban Dictionary.
I think this is
yeah,
going to happen.
Yeah, sounds
that's
fun.
Exactly how shocked I would be about it. They're not going to fire him. This happens every year. What, they lost a Sunday night game to the Packers in which they looked overmatched defensively in the second half because they have an old defense that's a highly paid old defense? I'm sorry. I cannot get on board with the Tomlin firing thing. They just gave him an extension. I'm not buying it.
All right, final one. The Ravens will win the AFC North. Buy or sell?
I love this, and I wish you asked me this a week from now, like when I get a closer look at the Ravens with Lamar back. Oh, I'm buying. I'm buying, baby, because I don't believe the Steelers are going to be able to hold on to that. It's going to take a big turnaround for the Ravens, but I think they have it within them.
Shooky, you're the best, buddy. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, too. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nick Shook, NFL.com. We're proud of that one. That's a good egg right there.
Good cookie.
And I'm not saying that because he's got a bald dome. That would be very mean if that's how... That's not... No, don't even think it.
Who are the Browns at this point? They are a team with two rookie quarterbacks. They've seen a decent amount of performance from one. It has been a low ceiling showing. Their offense is also very limited. They lack, you know, capable pass catchers who are able to get open. Jerry Jeudy has not been consistent with his hands this year. They've relied heavily on the tight ends. Their running game is hit or miss because their offensive line has also had to shuffle around. It's not a good set of circumstances for any quarterback. But Dylan Gabriel, I mean, what has he done to lose the job? Well, he threw two picks in New England and didn't look very good, but he has done ultimately what is most important in this offense for where the Browns are right now, which is get the ball out on time and largely avoid mistakes. So I don't know if necessarily they are ready to make a change because they would still like to see more from Dylan Gabriel. You will see Shador at some point. I continue to guarantee that you will see him at some point.
The QB Deadpool coming up in about 20 minutes. Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. That's the voice of Cleveland's own Nick Shook giving us his take on the quarterback situation. I have no doubt in my mind that Dylan Gabriel can play better than he did against New England. And I think he can play better than he did against Pittsburgh. I think the thing is, right now I've got four games of proof, and the only game that I'm really confident was good enough to try and win on is that first game, and I think that might be as good as it's going to look for Dylan Gabriel as a starter in the NFL.
So the hard part I have, and this might be just me being pedantic in any sort of way, but like, You can't tell me, like Nick did in that clip, that Shedeur Sanders is going to see the field and then also say that Dylan Gabriel, we haven't seen enough. Like, isn't the end result, if your end result in your mind is Shedeur Sanders will see the field at some point this season, then haven't you, by virtue of admitting that, understood you've seen enough of Dylan Gabriel?
Or there's going to be a moment where you fall out of competition and, wow, you know what you have in Dylan. He can always be a part of the quarterback fray. Let's give Shedeur a game. That would be the sliver, the little wiggle room that you can get
to. Like, we learned enough to know that he's a backup quarterback? Like, isn't that what we know already?
Or that you know enough to know that he's going to be a part of the thing going forward, even if he's not going to be the long-term starter. Maybe it's a backup, however you want to define it. And let's just check that box off for Shedeur in Week 18. I could definitely...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I see that's a way Shedeur seeing the field. And again, if the next, oh gosh, how many games are left? 9 games? If the next 8 games of Dylan.
We have more games than not left.
Are the aggregate of the first 4 games. If I have to watch another 8 games of that, I'll be pretty upset.
I just wonder, like, I guess I look at it through the lens of, are we trying to find a franchise quarterback? Are we trying to find a quarterback that you can use and you can make sure that is contributing to a team in one way or another? Are you trying to get value for your 3rd-round pick and your 5th-round pick? And it's like, when you understand what a quarterback is, then it's okay to just accept that.
What drives me crazy about the narrative around Dylan is, I said disagree with a couple things that Nick said. I think Dylan has made ample amount of mistakes, going all the way back to Pittsburgh, but you and I had a Donnybrook over the Miami game. It's not even about mistakes. I think one of the reasons why the interceptions and the interceptable balls keep happening, or turnover-worthy plays keep happening, is He's not up to speed.
Well, the Pittsburgh game, he had so many. I mean, that game, there was no argument between me and you on that one. Yeah. That was four turnover-worthy plays scouted by PFF, but it felt like 75. And it's a Pittsburgh team, by the way, that has... Every other team has scored on Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, we look at them in a rare air, and we put them up in a high light. But, like, the Pittsburgh defense, the best it's looked this season was the game against the Browns. That should not have been hard.
But, like, I think his biggest problem is he's not getting through his reads quick enough.
No, he's not.
And so, and I mean, even that goes back to the Miami game with Quinshon and Jerome both being in positions to score touchdowns. And Dylan on the Jerome Ford one panicked and threw it to the receiver that had just... merged. He just collided with the defensive back, choosing a defensive pass interference call, which never came, over a sure thing touchdown.
Well, and Coach Riz will tell me until I'm blue in the face, and he does it every Sunday, that it's not a height thing with Dylan Gabriel. But you can't tell, Nick, watching these games. He makes decisions as if he can't see anything beyond 10 yards deeper than the field.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned if it wasn't a height thing.
Right. Like, I mean, seriously.
I prefer it's a height thing because you can do things to, whether it's rolling him out, you can do things, draft only 5'7". Linemen are shorter. Just full Willie Lampkin it, right? There's plenty of things you can do to work around the height issue, and he can just get comfortable, like Brock Purdy says. Yeah, they're just throws that I just have to trust the guys there.
Yeah, Purdy says 45% of his throws he just can't see.
You can overcome height. If you're just not seeing the field, or if you're just the game is too fast for you and the supercomputer, there's no coming back from that.
I mean,
sinks more quarterbacks than just about damn near anything in the NFL.
I haven't broke down every single Jerry Jeudy play. Maybe I need to at some point this week just look at every single Jerry Jeudy play from this past week and just see exactly how wide open he gets. But I would bet a lot of money he gets open down the field and Dylan Gabriel's just not seeing it.
I would bet good money that there are plays on the field that are not being where the ball's not being delivered, and that's probably the biggest issue with the offense right now. And it's interesting, like I've resigned myself to two more games because that just seems like, all right, they want to give him the bye week to really work on this and then get the Jets, a bad team, an awful team, no matter that they just went against Cincinnati, give him the best chance against one of the three worst teams in the NFL. And all right, okay, he was better in that game because he should be. And then you go out against the Ravens, and that one feels like the one where it's just like, good luck.
Well, and then Dylan would have 6 games, Shador would have 7 games, and then at the end of it, you just kind of, whichever one wins out, would probably end up being the backup job moving forward.
I think you bring them both back. I do. I don't really see a need at the end to make a definitive declaration on either guy, other than... Are they the starter or not?
I guess maybe from like the actual pecking order, and also there might be a situation too, depending on what happens within the 2026 draft. They might end up doing a Drake May situation where Jacoby Brissett started the first 6 or 7 games until they then put Drake May out there. There's a scenario out there that these two are actually battling for the starting job next year until the 2026 quarterback, until they feel comfortable to go ahead and put that guy out there.
So yesterday we had the conversation.
I didn't like that, and I get that. I understand why, because I am playing the quarterback right away guy as well. I'd play him week 1, but we watched it. We watched the Patriots just not do that script.
I think as long as you take the right quarterback, if I have to wait 8 games or a full season, I'm okay. If that means next year it's Dylan Gabriel and Shador battling it out while your version of Mahomes or like any of the quarterbacks that have waited a year, wait, okay.
And that might
as
be,
long
honestly,
as I know. As long as I know we get a bridge to that quarterback, I'm ready.
And that might be what this competition ends up being. The 6 games for Dylan and then the 7 games for Shador, and then the winner gets that first little stretch until you then give it off to the 2026 quarterback.
Oh, no, that means we're going to have a 3-way quarterback battle going into next year. Oh, yeah, get ready. Get good and randy. So we talked about Drake May and how much like a Drake May or like an elite quarterback would change this offense. Mm-hmm. And you and I both agreed, like, I think Jerry Jeudy would suddenly look like the Jerry Jeudy was last year with a better quarterback. I think it would be immensely easier to be Quinshon Judkins if you had an elite quarterback behind you. And I think the offensive line, if that quarterback could get the ball out quickly, would also look a hell of a lot better just because they wouldn't be getting exposed every week. So with Nick Shook, when he was on with us, I did ask him how much an elite receiver would change this offense. Here was his answer.
This is essentially the Joe Flacco experiment, right? You're thinking, okay, let's put Ja'Marr Chase on this roster. The Browns could have done the same thing the Bengals did with Joe Flacco and Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, I would subscribe to that notion to a degree. I also don't know if that is necessarily the most the smartest thing to consider with this team right now. They're in a position where they have amassed a good amount of draft capital and they are building for the future. If you want the immediate return, yes, a star receiver would I think elevate this offense, and no matter who's playing quarterback, I think that's true for most any team. But is it, you know, first, those aren't really available without giving up a lot, and I don't think the Browns are in the position to make a deal like that. I could put that on the plate of the Buffalo Bills, even maybe the Baltimore Ravens, but not the Browns.
So I think age depends here, but like Brian Thomas Jr., there had been a report that the Jags weren't shopping him, but they'd listen if you called them. There had been the rumors about A.J. Brown, and I know Schefter has since said they're not trading him, they being the Eagles, but like A.J. Brown's a little older, so I don't know that would make sense, but I think if you dropped A.J. Brown or Brian Thomas Jr. into this offense, I don't know it was all of a sudden we'd have the Joe Flacco effect, like Joe Flacco being dropped into Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's just been so much losing. You're in quicksand right now. But do I think the offense would be more watchable? Because you'd be able to Dylan would be able to check down at 3 yards and maybe Brian Thomas Jr. could turn it into a 60-yard touchdown once a game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, adding talent's never going to be a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you get him better weapons, he's going to have a better chance to succeed. I guess we just have to find out whether or not these weapons are giving him enough chance to succeed and make that kind of what we base everything off of.
When we've tried to think about players that you could get, and again, Mary Kay was on the station 2 times this week, and the line has been, well, they're maybe selective sellers more than they are selective buyers more than they are sellers. The thing I struggle with is if I could get a top 10 left tackle or a top 10 wide receiver, mm-hmm. what would make the biggest difference? I'm going to say it would end up being the top 10 wide receiver just because that's how bad the quarterbacks are. But man, I don't know. Like this goes back to the idea of in 2026, I think your first 3 picks are going to probably be top 35 picks, and I need a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a left tackle. You choose which order you take them.
I mean, if Albert built his whole trade Myles Garrett timeline argument based off of timelines not matching up, wouldn't the obvious choice then be the timelines don't add up to get a top 10 wide receiver or top 10 tackle right now?
Not if it's Brian Thomas Jr. Just because, I mean, that's a second-year player.
Well, you got some time. There's no doubt about it.
But A.J. Brown would definitely be different because he's, I think, 27 and making 35.
And maybe that's just what I was thinking, more A.J. Brown and trying to line up that. But, like, even still within that then, so even if it's, let's say it's Brian, 2 years, 3 years down the road is when you first start seeing some of the payoff off of that?
Oh, I think you see it immediately. But you're talking about like
I'm talking about when it translates into wins and when you're actually going down the road with it's like this is your everything.
I think that depends on the quarterback, though.
Sure.
Like, it's almost like, do you want to build...
I'm not against adding talent. I'm just trying to talk it out.
This is always the catch-22 of, like, do you want to build everything out so the quarterback can just slide in there and have immediate success?
Which is what Kellen Moore tried telling us what he was doing with the Saints.
Or do you just get the quarterback and then build
out? Throw it in.
Do basically what the Commanders are doing with Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
And we see how that is working out for Jaden to this point.
Right. I mean, again, it worked until it didn't, right? It's a good... I love the conversation because I love thinking about what the right way to approach this is. You could obviously measure out that because of the draft that they had and how they've tried to build out these drafts, they are trying to take it that more Kellen Moore route. They are trying to take it that we're going to build everything out and then plop the quarterback in.
At least for one draft.
So if you're going down that road, Brian Thomas would be on the table then.
Yeah, I think the question there is, and I think I was actually listening to Nick Shook on the NFL Daily podcast, although he hadn't come in yet. It was Jordan Rodrigue and it was Greg Rosenthal. And Greg Rosenthal seemed to think a first and another piece would be the price on...
What's that other piece?
Probably another pick, like a second or third round pick, or maybe a defender.
That's what I wondered, if we can get a first, and I've toyed with some names before that you don't like when I throw in there. I'm not going to throw Harold Fannin in there just to upset you, but like, what are we talking? A first and...
Yeah, I mean, I think they need defensive help.
First and Delpit? Because that seems pretty rich.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that... I don't know, it's tough because Grant is having a career year.
Yeah.
And I think this his name's gotten thrown in there of like, well, if you need pieces... And you want to save some money, because you've already paid him, and I think you're on the back half of that money. I just don't want to trade him. But if I'd trade Denzel Ward in a trade for Brian Thomas Jr., I would have to say I'd trade Grant too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think there's really a piece beyond Myles Garrett or Carson Schlesinger I wouldn't make that trade for.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring Schlesinger in the mix. That kind of felt like any time I bring Fannin in the mix, it just kind of felt like it was a little dirty, and it wasn't something that the Browns would even go down anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like this idea. It feels like a 0% chance of happening, even though you and I look at it and say it makes sense.
216-474-0092. How much would an elite receiver change this offense? I think this is where, for this year, the challenge you'd have is if you then go ahead and juggle quarterbacks again. Like, that, the danger here is if you bring in Brian Thomas Jr., and again, it's a hypothetical, I agree. I think it has about as much chance of happening as Myles Garrett getting traded before the deadline. But if you were to do that, and then he gets three games with Dylan Gabriel, and then you switch to Shador, you're resetting that. It's another reason why juggling quarterbacks is a bad idea, because you're not just resetting it for Brian Thomas Jr., you'd be resetting it for everybody else in the offense too.
Yeah, and again, in the meanwhile, in that process, but at least you give Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders more of a chance of what they currently have.
How much would an elite wide receiver change this offense? It is a different way of looking at our question yesterday about the quarterback position. And speaking of the quarterback position, the commissioner joins us in 5 minutes to break down the quarterback Deadpool and the question, what if it isn't it in 2026? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
We have been doing the quarterback Deadpool. So way back before the NFL season, all three of us, so that's Mac, JP, and I, drafted our quarterback Deadpool teams. And initially, we each drafted three quarterbacks, and then we added a fourth quarterback a couple weeks back. But the goal is to have one of three things, or multiple of those three things, nail who's going to be the number one pick for the quarterback spot, nail who's going to be the Browns pick at quarterback, and then get as many draftable quarterbacks on your team as possible. So with an update on that is the commissioner, Jake Murrin. Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It depends on which one of the teams you're talking about for us, because I'm surviving.
I'm also surviving. Arch Manning was a good week for Arch.
Yeah, coming off a good game.
If he plays against Vandy, stock could go through the roof.
Well, let's run through everybody's team here for week 10 of the Afternoon Drive quarterback Deadpool. Starting with you, Nick. Your latest addition, Jaden Maiava, is coming off a bye week. Garrett Nussmeier, LSU, kind of in shambles. Brian Kelly fired. They've lost three of their last four games. Carson Beck did rebound last week in a blowout win over Stanford. And John Mateer looked all right in a losing effort to Ole Miss. Can we get a vibe check for your team?
I think I'm going to have one first-round quarterback. And I do think all four quarterbacks are getting drafted. I think they're all going to be top 100 picks. I just don't think it's going to be enough to take the cake when it comes down to it.
Well, that's too bad. That's why you have to make moves, which is what I'd like to do today.
Oh, it's time for the furry quarterback.
No risky, no bisky. We're not going furry. Mm. I can't have a furry as my quarterback. I refuse to have a furry as my quarterback. To the committee, we'd like to drop one Arch Manning, coming off the best Arch Manning game of the season.
Wow.
And especially after what I think is probably going to be a pretty decent game in Vanderbilt. May not go his way. I don't really care. He's not going to go into the draft this year. The point is, get draftable players. Is it not?
I believe that is.
It is.
Mac, the college football guru, that is Mac Robinson. That is the point. Is that correct?
That is indeed.
I'm going to go with Brendan Sorsby, Cincinnati. I need more draftable players. He is looking like a third-round pick at the current moment, and it's going to be rising. I feel like he's got some real upside to be attached to, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make that move if that's all right, Kamish.
Yeah, that is all right. You have the top waiver wire selection now, there, so now you have Brendan Sorsby.
When you rearrange the picture that people vote on for when they decide like who's got the best teams and everything, could you do me a solid and do it like you do Max, where you put the best players at the front? So like Dante Moore gets to go to the front of the line.
No,
so how you've always done it, where it seems like I always end up with these quarterbacks that like, Arch Manning was bringing down my profile. Let's just be honest about it.
I've actually left it as is from the start. So it shows each column is your first, second, third, and fourth round pick. So if anything, you should get credit
that
your fourth round pick was Dante Moore. That should be kudos for you.
Let's rearrange that. Well, I can't just lay down and die. I see a team that was struggling. We went out and we got Dante Moore ahead of the sticks on that one. Boy, was that a pick for the ages. And now we're ahead of the sticks. Now we're ahead of the sticks here.
And you're doing that to please social media. So you can win a social media poll. Just to be clear, right?
I don't want to lose a social media poll is the difference.
Why do you care about a social media poll?
Why do we have a poll if I'm not supposed to care about the winner or the loser of the poll?
To see what people think about our quarterback Deadpools.
If we had a different way of measuring our quarterback Deadpools, I'm open to it. But that's our way of measuring our quarterback Deadpools.
That's how you feel like you're winning?
Is that not how we all thought we were winning?
Much flexing early on in the process.
Oh, yeah, I was just being D. I didn't take it to heart.
That's fair.
I thought that's how we were all judging it as we went.
It's been bragging rights more than anything.
Yeah.
Point system comes when the draft comes.
Mac's been winning in a big way. Week in, week out, I have been getting destroyed week
in. Yeah, I think Nick won the first, three or four.
I won the first one.
Then Nick went on a stretch, and now it's just been Mac ever since.
What was last week's poll results?
I'd have to pull it up.
Large margin.
Yeah, was Mac I second or was I third? 50.
I would have to double check, but Mac at least got 50-60% of the vote.
Well, now I want to know who was second and third.
I will say.
Kamish, pull that up.
I will say I was considering Sorsby last week before I picked up Mensa from Duke, so I'd like to pick up for JP.
So, thank you.
Yeah, last week's
the big
poll,
brain on yourself, I appreciate that.
You guys
want to
get a room? Right?
The week 9 poll,
maybe we will.
I don't know. It's a winner's circle.
Where is the night taking us, Nick?
That's not what that circle is. It's a different kind of circle, Mac.
All these flavors.
And you know what the
Urban Dictionary
got? All these flavors, and you're choosing salty today on the quarterback Deadpool.
Oh, I'm not salty.
Man.
I think the circle over there is pretty salty.
No, I think that's just your quarterback room.
Oh, you got me, Mac. Will I recover? I don't know.
Based on your quarterback room, absolutely not.
Oh, he got me again.
So I have those results for you, JP.
Are you the guy that wrote the PR request for the Browns, whether you have a better chance of winning the lottery than trading Myles Garrett?
I will neither confirm nor deny.
I'm just going to let that hang there. What'd you say there, Kamish?
So those results for the Week 9 Deadpool, Mac did win 75% of the vote for Mac. Mm. Nick, you're in second with 16.7%, and JP 8.3% to round it out.
Arch Manning was just, people hate Arch Manning.
Yeah, Brennan Sorsby, that's gonna pull the nose up on that thing.
It's not gonna bring it down the way that Arch Manning. I'm at 8%. I can't get much lower than 8%.
I got the number one
pick on the draft with Dante Moore, and I can't. Arch Manning is tanking.
I almost want to pick up Arch Manning just out of spite.
Do it. I implore you to.
You are next up in the waiver.
Please do. He's all yours.
I decline. I'm confident. Okay. I've got a bunch of second and third round picks here. I'm feeling good.
Mac, would you like Arch Manning on your team?
No, I'm good. Maybe next year's Deadpool.
He's definitely like the top guy to be picked up in case.
I disagree.
One of you guys don't want him.
Yeah. There's other guys.
If he enters the draft, he's going to be up there. But.
Well, yeah. He's not going to have the draft. Neither will Dante
Moore, Lenore Sellers. It was just a spite play by me in the very beginning, but sure. I've taken that as far as I can go.
I think what's going to be funny is when Sellers, Moore, and Manning don't go, watching the looks on your faces will be a hell of a lot of fun.
It's a long play, you know. I like to have guys in the game, and right now I got guys in the game, and so that's just a good sign. We like this. It's a good development for the team.
As opposed to having nobody that potentially was going to be drafted. Well,
before Dante Moore, I mean, real, what was I looking at? Yeah. I mean, really, Cade Klubnik? Not saving me. Klubnik, just an awful pick by myself. I mean, I like Cade Klubnik, but that's just
trusted Dabo Swinney.
Just a disaster of a pick by me at this point. All he's going to be like quarterback 8 or 7 right now.
Listen.
That young man is disappointed in a big way.
You trusted Dabo Swinney. We learned a lesson.
I mean, it's disgusting work by me with Cade Klubnik is
fairness,
what it is.
Okay, if we just play the name game.
Absolutely disgusting work by me.
It's tough to see Klubnik on the back of a jersey and think, that guy's going to be a top 10 quarterback.
I feel worse about taking Klubnik than I do eating all that candy leading up to Halloween and have to buy new candy. Just disgusting work by me.
I don't think you do. I think I regret all of it, man.
Just a shameful experience by me, just across the board.
You know what helped that?
Not Cade Klubnik. Dropping Arch Manning was me helping it, by the way.
I was
going to
say more candy.
You know how like you do retail therapy to help you make you feel better?
Uh-huh.
Me dropping Arch Manning like a bad habit, that's my way of dealing with this.
With a side of 4 Reese's cups, and I think you'll be happy.
It makes me feel good to tell Arch Manning, kick rocks. You're not on Team Jonathan anymore.
All right,
you can't play for this team.
Any business before we got to go?
Yeah, I actually did want to ask you guys, you know, when looking at this class so far, you know, it was supposed to be rich at this cute quarterback position. Do you think it's living up to that, or should conversations maybe be looking towards the 2027 class?
We are in a holding pattern. We are in a, like, if Dante Moore balls out the rest of the year, it could be a real conversation. If Lenore Sellers can stay healthy and ball out, Mendoza's going to be really interesting because I think he's a lock to be a first-round pick. But he's the kind of guy that I think fits Stefanski's system and might just be Matt Ryan as opposed to being like Pat Mahomes.
We also can't undersell the amount of people that believed in Lenore Sellers in a way that they're going to believe in him come January as well.
That is fair.
It doesn't matter what he does the rest of the way. They've convinced themselves that he's awesome, and they're going to stay with that.
All right, that's the update there for the quarterback Deadpool. We're going to put the Twitter poll up at afternoon, 923FAN, on the old Twitter machine, and we've got our first significant report that not all is well, or all is not well, words are hard, with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.